Amen. By the way, when that widow kept going to that barrel to get that meal, how many times did she do that? A couple of days, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, how about a year? If I understand it right, is that right? It was about a year, or, you know, a year. Every day when she went to that barrel thinking she was going to get the last scoop out of there, there was another scoop. Here's my point. How encouraging would that be? I mean, just think about what you would go through. The discouragement, the concern, the fear, the whatever that you would have, that was your, I mean, because when the prophet showed up, he told her, she told him she was going to bake a cake for her and her son. They were going to eat it, and they were going to die, because that's all they had. The prophet said, bake me a cake first. And she did. She obeyed. But think about what she felt like. You know, I don't want to get too much into the emotion here, but just think about the experience that widow had in learning how God can provide. To go to that barrel every day, I assume it was every day, they needed to eat every day. So every day for a year and see God miraculously providing.
Another amen.
That had to be tremendous. All right? Has the Lord ever blessed you in a similar way? Maybe not for a year. Maybe not the same experience every day for a year. But have you not seen the hand of the Lord blessing you and providing for you when you didn't see a way, or you didn't see what could happen? You know, you didn't know if it was going to happen or not, but it was there. So I want to continue this line of reasoning this morning with the phrase, according to the power of God. According to the power of God. When Paul was writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I've often said, I guess Timothy will always be a young preacher. He was a young preacher when Paul wrote to him, and everybody likes to refer to Timothy as the young preacher. But nevertheless, he was no doubt facing some timidity, some discouragement perhaps, some fears. I mean, listen, it was not an easy time to be preaching the gospel. Okay, there were a lot of afflictions that were facing, you know, the apostles and those of the Christians and so forth. And so Paul is writing words of encouragement. And he's going to eventually get to that expression, according to the power of God. So we've already heard a wonderful message this morning about the supremacy of our God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Not if he wants to do it. Not if it doesn't violate his holiness. You know, there's some things God can't do. Right? He cannot lie. He cannot die. He cannot deny himself. He can't swear by any greater. There might be one or two more, but that's enough. You understand what I'm saying here. There's things God simply cannot do, but it's because it would violate his holiness. He's not going to do it. Okay? So when we think about him having all power And yet he is good and holy and righteous. When we think about the goodness of our God, and we think about the power of our God, we think about the love of our God, we think about the mercy of our God, we think about his great compassion, we think about his holiness, all of these things. I would that your mind and your heart could just soar when you think about the goodness and mercy and power of our God.
Amen.
I appreciate what Brother Thomas read to us, mm-hmm. reminding us, and you know, sometimes we do think of God as too human. Sometimes because we place our own limitations on things. God is able. God can do. All right? So when Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him, and I don't know if I've said this here or not. I've said it somewhere. Encourage. You know, courage is something we need, don't we? When we're facing life, when we're facing trials and heartaches and suffering and whatever the case might be, there are many things and many times in life that we need courage. All right? We don't always have what we need, do we? We don't always have that courage to face what we need to face or to do what we need to do. All right, so to encourage, that little prefix, E-N, depending on what the word is, it might be E-M, like empower, instead of encourage. All right, but that little prefix means to add to. So when Paul is encouraging Timothy, he is giving him reminders, giving him information, giving him what he needs to add to his courage. And when a pastor tries to encourage a congregation, we want to add to your courage because we need the help of the Lord on a regular basis, and we're not always thinking like we should, but when we are thinking like we should, we realize that he is the supreme God and that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so when we ask of the Lord and are looking to him, then we're thinking like we should and we get encouraged. Because we get discouraged oftentimes when we're thinking about our inability. Yeah. But it's encouraging to us when we think about God's ability. That's where our help has to come from, isn't it? And he's got all the help we need. You got that? He has all and more of the help that we need for whatever situation we're going to ever face. He knows what we've got ahead of us. We don't. He knows what we need. We don't. And so the closer we stay to him and the more we ask of him and look to him for the things that we stand in need of, the more encouraged we are, the closer we are and more communication we are with the Lord on a regular basis. See, it's those little things that we do every day, like praying, like seeking his will, like doing that which is pleasing in his sight. It's the regular things that we do every day that makes the difference in our lives. Not just once in a while when we get in trouble and we start calling upon the name of the Lord, but it's what we do on a regular basis in walking with the Lord. The Apostle Paul experienced that on many occasions, didn't he?
Yeah.
When he faced troubles. He learned. You know, he said, I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. He'd learned how to abound. He had learned how to be abased. There were times that he had plenty. There was times that he had very little. There were times that he felt like he was at the end of his strength. There were times that he felt like he was a goner. You know, read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll find he expressed some of that. There were times that he despaired even of life. There were one time that they stoned him and drug him out to the outside the city and left him for dead. There was times that he was in a shipwreck and was in the deep. All right? But the Lord came to him.
Amen.
The Lord came to him and said, if they abide in the ship, there'd be no loss of life. All right, now listen. The reason we can be encouraged in this way is because according to the power of God. I can try to encourage you all I can, but I can do very little. I can try to encourage you. I can try to help you. I can try to whatever, but I'm very limited. I can do very little. God is not limited. And he is not little. He is able. All right? So the more lofty that our mind and our confidence and our heart sets upon our God who is above all, and bless your hearts, the more encouraged we can be. So let's look at a little bit about this encouragement and how it took on its form. I know I've preached a lot about this in the last several years, but I feel like it's needful. I feel like that in my heart, I just feel like that we need to be reminded that we can be encouraged in the Lord. I mean, there are things going on in the world. There are people that want to keep you confused and keep you scared. Okay? So they can control you. And this is on a small scale, big scale, whatever. You'll encounter it in this world. All right? Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Get ready. You're already experiencing, but Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But then he said, be of good courage. Oh, mean I can be encouraged even though I'm going to face tribulations? Yes, that's what the Word of God says. And when we read it and remember it, it'll help us to be encouraged. So Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. That makes the difference, right? When he's involved, all right? Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that takes you all the way to where Brother Thomas ended. He has power over death. And so when we think about, all right, so, okay, hope you found 2 Timothy chapter 1 by now. Paul said, for God hath not given us, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. When we're fearful, we're prone to act brash, you know, rashly, you know, not without thinking something through. We're prone to make mistakes. We're prone to be quick to make a decision when really you need to wait. All right? So where does fear come from? Well, I just told you it didn't come from God. Well, that really narrows it down, doesn't it? Whether it's a lack of confidence in ourselves or whatever the case might be, ultimately, Satan is on the prowl. And he wants to mess up our lives. And he wants us to fear. And he uses a lot of different methods to do that. But none of that is greater than the Lord, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have every reason in the world to trust God. So now, I understand this is an apostle writing to a preacher. But the things that this apostle is writing to this preacher are things that this preacher is to preach to congregations so that we can be well founded in the Word of God. Okay? All right? So what Paul is telling Timothy, I know that it has a primary application to those in the ministry, but it also flows down to all of us. These principles apply, and they are good for all of us to remember so that we can be encouraged and not fearful in anything that we're facing in life. All right? What does he say? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, what has he given us? He's given us the spirit of, not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Well, I'm not very strong. It doesn't matter. God is. And of love, oh, I'm not very loving. Well, you ought to be. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. But what does matter is God's love. God's love for us is eternal. God's love for us is unconditional. God's love for us is just amazing. That when God set his love upon us, which the scriptures teach us in various places, it teaches us that he foreknew his people. All right? Now that foreknowledge is not just speaking about him knowing about what's going to happen in the future. I'm satisfied God does, but that's not addressing that point. Foreknowledge is God setting his love upon a people. That's what his foreknowledge is all about. And if he ever loved you, he still loves you. He will continue to love you. There's plenty of times that we do things that he doesn't love. But he loves us as his people. All right? So when we think about then, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. He has all the power. And of love, he loves us far beyond what we can even think about. Power, love, and of a sound mind. What does fear do to you? It disturbs you. Yeah. It clouds your thinking. Yes. It causes you to make poor decisions. You know, it keeps you from doing what you should. There's a lot of reasons why we should not be fearful, especially when Paul's writing to this preacher. There's reasons preachers ought not to be fearful, but there's reasons that all of us should not be fearful. All right? So he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. That's clear thinking. All right? That's what we need to make good decisions. That's what we need to move forward in this life and do those things which are pleasing to the Lord. That's what we need. That's the kind of thinking we need. And we can get that from the Lord. Seeking his will, being faithful to him. All right? So, again, let's try to get a little farther here. Gosh, the time's about gone, isn't it? All right? For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. Paul was in prison. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's so much more here, but think about this for just a moment. All of the scriptures, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, mature, complete. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We are to be doing these good works to give glory to God, to show who our God is, to be faithful to him, to say, I love you, because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So every time you keep his commandments, what he sees is, I love you. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Let's try to say I love you to God in many, many ways. Because he certainly loves us. He certainly shows his love to us. He certainly provides for us. He certainly helps us. He certainly protects us. He is there for us. And all we have to do is call upon him for the things we stand in need of. He's promised never to forsake us. All right? So when we think about then, all that we need to be doing in service to him, whatever we need, we have all the help available that we need. Because it's according to the power of God. And as we've already heard this morning, he's supreme. He is able. If there's something we need, if it's according to his will, bless your hearts, you can be praying to him and asking him for the help you need. If he puts it on your heart, you can rest assured if he put it there, it's according to his will, and he would be pleased to bless you with whatever you need. You may not be able to see how you can do it or the resources or opportunities or whatever the case might be, but if he put it there, he will bless you. All you've got to do is step out in faith and follow the leadership of his Spirit, and bless your heart, he'll help you according to the power of God. And that's unlimited. We're so limited in what we can do, but he's unlimited. All right? And so when we're talking about encouragement, whereas I might offer encouragement to someone, but I can do so little. I know so little. I am so little. But God is everything. And so when we're encouraging you according to the power of God, and if it's something that God is pleased with, then bless your hearts, there's no limit to what he can provide. All right? So the encouragement. Recently, I was speaking from this, and I went back to Joshua. And we don't have time this morning to talk about much about Joshua, but God encouraged Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. In other words, be encouraged. And the very reason why Joshua could be encouraged is because God said, I will be with you. So he had all the help he needed to stand before, you know, he said, all the days of thy life, he said, there's no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Can you imagine Joshua being called to lead the children of Israel and for God to tell him that no man shall be able to stand before him all the days of his life? That had to be encouraging. Well, guess what? We have the same promise from the Lord. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has all that we stand in need of. As long as we're looking to him, in the book of James you read, it says, draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. Isn't that encouraging? All right? See, for God to be able, or for us to speak about the ability of God and his love for us and his willingness to provide for us, that is super encouraging. Beyond anything that we might encourage ourselves with, when we think about it, it's the Lord that's able to supply this. But he even goes beyond that here in writing to Timothy. He even goes on not only speaking about the power of God and what God has done for us, or what he, the power of God and how we should be encouraged. The next verse or so tells us what he has done for us. And this is also a big part of encouragement. I'll try to make this quick. This is another part of encouragement. Because when we see what God has done for us, and when we see our security in it, and when we see that it was with great love that God provided it, and that we cannot be separated from it, that gives us something that all the days of our lives. See, it's not just that God said he'll be with us like he told Joshua, but bless your hearts, we find that God has already sent his son to this world to save us from our sins. Heaven will be our home. We will be with him in glory, and there's nothing that can keep us from it. And the more we remember that every day, and the more we trust that every day, the more joy and encouragement we can have each day as we face the trials of life. All right? So what has he done for us? Just very briefly, look what Paul reminded Timothy when he says, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. In other words, it's a done deal. This salvation that's being addressed here in this verse is speaking of a salvation that is already accomplished. We are securely in it by the grace of God. All right? When Jesus died on the cross, when he shed his precious blood, he was saving the people God sent him to save. Right? I mean, that's Bible. John chapter 6, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. Isn't that saying that he knew who he was going to save because God had given them to him? Isn't that saying that what he came to do was to save those that God had already given to him? Okay, and by the way, that's not the first installment. It all happened at the same time. He chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. All right? So, came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose. How many? Nothing. Because that's according to the power of God, isn't it? I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. I learned why that was one of my daddy's favorite verses of scripture, because it comprehensively tells us that he didn't come to do his will, he came to do the Father's will. And what the Father's will was that all that had been given to him to save, he would save them, and he would also be the one to raise them up again at the last day. That makes me feel so secure. How about you? It's according to the power of God. We are secure in the finished work of Christ. Now, there's plenty of things on a day-to-day basis from which we need to be saved. I need to be saved from ignorance. I need to be delivered from trials. I need to be delivered from heartaches. I need to be delivered from sorrow. I need to be saved from a lot of things. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said to those Jews on that occasion, save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a generation out there that doesn't love God, that's not following after God, and you don't need to get caught up in that. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And he's talking about they needed that salvation, they needed it that day. Because the salvation of eternity, Jesus accomplished on the cross. All right? So when we're reading the scriptures, every time we encounter the word saved, we need to be saying saved from what? All right? So he says, who hath saved us and called us? He called us. In other words, he sent his spirit in our heart and quickened us and blessed us to be able to hear his word and to know him. Okay? We'll have to deal more at length with this another time, but called us with an holy calling. All right? So that's not an invitation from the preacher. That's a holy calling. That's the Spirit of God being sent into your heart, enabling you to cry, Abba, Father. That's that which, that life-giving voice of the Son of God in John 5:25. And he says, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. All right? So he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Plain as day, isn't it? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Okay? And grace. Oh, grace is unmerited favor. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's when he, that's his purpose reaches back to there. Those embraced in the saving, those that are being saved, have those that he hath saved us. They were in that covenant of grace. They were included in that number, chosen in him before the foundation world. Okay? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now this is not an isolated, I could take, if I had time, I could go to Romans 8. I could go to Ephesians 1. I could go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Other places where he also lays this out. Okay? And while so many in the world want to attribute so much of this power to the gospel itself, this clearly tells us this is what God has done for us. He put it upon Christ to accomplish. Jesus finished that work. He rose from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. And before he went, he promised that he was coming back to get us. Now, my point is, if that's not encouraging to you, I don't know what would be. We are safe in what God purposed to do for us and what he accomplished for us through his Son and what we're being kept in by the Holy Spirit. We're safe. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. And all of this is according to the power of God. We may have to have more to say about this. May God bless you, is our prayer.